Welcome to Career Tools. This week, professional basics still matter, chapter 2, tell the truth. The questions this cast answers are, why do old-fashioned professional basics still matter? Who knows what the truth is? And you do know that Gen X, Gen Y, Gen Z, or one of the other generations don't care about this stuff, don't you? To which the answer is yes. It is almost time for last orders for 2022, but we still have a few more opportunities for you to get your training in. We have conferences in Jersey City, Melbourne, Australia, Silicon Valley and Chicago, as well as virtual opportunities for both the Effective Manager Conference, the Effective Remote Manager, the Effective Hiring Manager and the Effective Communicator. So whatever the training is that you need before 2023, we can do it for you. Go to managertools.com and look for training in the menu bar. The people here at Manager Tools and Career Tools get accused relatively often of being old-fashioned, fuddy-duddy, stick-in-the-muds, corporate people who don't understand a modern workplace because we insist on basic values like truth-telling and being on time and that those things are essential for professionals. And it's not often that we say, we're right, you're wrong. But in this case, we are right. And this series, we started with timeliness and we talked about why that was important. In this one, we're going to talk about the truth.
Yeah. And our outline is pretty simple. Old-fashioned professional basics matter. And we're going to talk about telling the truth and what it means to tell the truth. So starting with old-fashioned professional basics matter. In the first chapter of this series, we laid out our full argument for why professional basics, such as timeliness, which is what we covered first, and truth-telling still matter. In case you haven't heard it, we'll summarize it here, but we encourage you to listen or read the whole thing, especially if right out the gate, you're skeptical. It's important to read the whole thing.
So here's the summary. Part one, organizations are made up of people. People have conflicts and we need rules in order to work together, which is why every society has rules and has done since we all got together, even the places we came from. Like there are rules in the animal kingdom. They don't have words for them, but it exists. And if we want to be in a group, we have to have rules.
Yeah. I can't count the number of times I've been watching a nature documentary and they say, if you're a baboon, this is what you do. And
yes.
I'm like, how do they know? Oh, because exactly. You can see that that's what they do.
Because you watch it. Exactly.
Yeah. So part two is in order to get results when we work together, some of us have to subordinate our wishes to those of the group. This means that sometimes we have to tell the truth when it's detrimental to us. Because the needs of the group are greater than our own.
Yeah. You have to be willing to act. You have to be willing to subordinate yourself to the greater goal.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not, you're in the wrong place because the greater goal isn't persuasive enough for you. Unless it's unethical, in which case, put that aside. Okay. It's not that different generations have different values, but at different stages in life, we value different things. The youngest generation may not care about professional basics now, but they will when they reach the age of those they currently consider to be ancient, which is us, right? Oh, yeah. Now you're like 10 years younger than me.
Well, I'm feeling ancient, though. It's amazing what happens. And probably because I've always had, that's probably why I work here, is because mm-hmm. I feel the same way. I think these traditional, just professional basics really do matter. And telling the truth is a huge component of being able to work together with other people. So part four is even if you don't care, those who are more senior than you do, and you will too when you reach their age, they have learned that organizations that have standards about the minimum acceptable behavior make working together easier for everyone. And that's something that I know we talk about it a lot, but I don't hear about it a lot elsewhere, is there's always this idea of different generations, different ages, and they place value on things, and it's because of their age. But I think it's more because of their experience. Mm-hmm. If you've worked for 30 years and seen over and over again what unethical or people who don't tell the truth or people who aren't timely, you start to develop, you see those patterns and you understand that that's why those things are important, because if I've seen that over and over and over again, there's a trend. And I know just because I've seen it that it's not going to work, or that's, you know, that's going to be ineffective at scale or whatever. And I think that too much is so focused on age rather than maybe it's just having seen it. I know people who are older than I am, but have less experience than I do. And we just see things differently. And there are people younger than me who have more experience than me. And I think experience is a big part of that.
Successful people whom you admire, real people, not celebrities, not politicians, not the people you see on TV or on YouTube or on Instagram, you know, real people, tell the truth. And it's part of the reason they're successful.
Yeah, it's that simple. So now let's talk about what telling the truth means. Telling the truth means being honest at all times, even when it hurts you or someone else. Now, the someone else part, this is not a license to be mean or hurtful. You still have an obligation to consider other people's feelings and choose your words carefully. Nor is this a license to tell the truth in a group or in public when you know that it will cause discomfort or embarrassment or unpleasantness. The truth is not a defense against rudeness, nastiness, unkindness, maliciousness, or dishonorableness. There's a big difference between niceness and kindness. If you're nice, you won't tell someone they have spinach in their teeth. If you're kind, you will, and in a way that's discreet and sensitive.
So you can be kind and truthful. Being truthful does not mean that you have to be mean.
No, not at all. And it doesn't excuse being mean. I've had a lot of people who have said, well, but I'm telling the truth. Yeah, but you're not doing it in the spirit of being kind.
So if you're listening to this guidance because you want to be a better professional, we believe that these are probably not behaviors that you are engaging in. You are probably trying to be nice, trying to be kind, trying to be effective, trying to be truthful, trying to be on the good side of all of those things. But we wanted to be clear because, like you just said, too many people start sentences with no offense, but, and end them with, I'm sorry, but that's the truth, mm-hmm. when they absolutely mean to offend and they are not sorry at all. And anytime you're not the oil on troubled waters, but instead you're stirring the waters up, you are not acting professionally.
Yeah. And there are times when you will have made a mistake, and this is the cast. This guidance will require you to tell the truth about the mistake you made. And this means telling the whole truth. A half truth or half of the truth is not enough. It might sound like telling half the truth or covering just enough to cover your mistake, right, is enough. But truth and trust are what we're talking about here, right? Telling the truth helps build trust and maintain trust. And so there's some etymology when it comes to truth and trust. It sounds like they come from the same root words, but they're linked in concept. Telling the truth engenders trust.
They're not linked etymologically, although you would think they were because they start the same, but they are linked in concept in the sense of someone who's trustworthy tells the truth. Someone who tells the truth is trustworthy. You know, they're linked in effect, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. That's well said. If you tell someone you made a mistake, but you don't tell the whole truth, they'll trust you less when they find out the full story.
And you can try it once, you can try it twice, and maybe you'll get away with it. But at some stage, karma will come back. Someone will find out the whole truth that you thought you had hidden, and the trust will be broken, and you'll get all the negative response, the negative results, or you'll get the negative results of that.
Absolutely. That's so hard to come back from something like that. You know, Shakespeare has a great line. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. When you act dishonestly, you are initiating problems and a domino of complications. One falls and it'll eventually run out of control. And the problem with not telling the full truth, as Wendy mentioned, is sometimes there's a lag or there's a delay. Maybe you get away with it for a period in time and you don't know when that domino is going to fall. And I can tell you, it'll probably fall when it is least convenient and when it is most damaging to your reputation, your relationships, or your career.
We're really scaring people.
I know.
But we're going to keep going, right? So telling the truth means not disguising the truth. So you shouldn't be so mealy-mouthed that nobody can tell what happened or what was done. That whole thing of like, mistakes were made. No, I made a mistake. When you say it in the passive voice, it's like, well, who made that mistake? The between the lines of mistakes were made is that I made a mistake and I don't want to admit it. Sometimes it's someone else made a mistake and I don't want to say that, but usually you're required to do so. If you're a manager, then if your team makes a mistake, it's I made a mistake because you're leading your team. If you want the benefits of management, you have to have the downside, which is you have to sign up for being the buck stops here when things go wrong.
Yeah.
And anytime we take action, we have to be able to take responsibility for the results of that action. We don't mean for mistakes to be made. Nobody goes into work in the morning and says, all right, I'm going to mess everything up today. It's my, you know, how many times can I mess things up? We don't mean to say things that are hurtful. We don't mean for things to be lost or for people to be inconvenienced. Most of us, most of the time, are trying to do our best for the world to be a better place. But sometimes those things happen. They just do because we're all people and we interpret things differently and mistakes get made. We're not perfect. We're not robots. And if they do, we have to be professional enough to admit that our actions or non-actions, you know, like I didn't do that and I should have done. We have to be willing to admit that those were what precipitated the outcome. Because if you want the credit when your actions go right, which is 99% of the time, you have to be willing to get the debit when things go wrong. The alternative is never to take action. And that's, you know, that's not a recipe for career success. So don't follow the example of politicians who say true things, but they don't answer the question, or they obfuscate the truth by saying things, you know, that can be factually checked, but really aren't, you know, it just hides whatever the truth is that they're trying to hide.
Yeah, it's a way of getting around the truth that's the root of the question or the root of the answer to the question. Telling the truth means not telling different people different versions of the truth, too. Someone who is ethical and tells the truth doesn't play games or play one person off against another. This is one reason why we're so against getting an offer for another job when you want a raise, right? It's just not truthful. You didn't get the offer as a result of a genuine search for an opportunity. You did so in order to get the raise.
It's just different. It's like when you say to someone, oh, I got a gift for you, and you get all this credit for the gift. And actually what you didn't go out and buy that gift. You know, it was a free thing that came in the mail, or it was something that was gifted to you, and you think, oh, I'll give it to this other person. You get all the credit for giving them a gift, but you didn't think about it first. You didn't go and buy it. You didn't wrap it up. You know, all that stuff, and it's just disingenuous too.
Yeah.
And if you are genuinely searching for a job, and you genuinely get an offer that you would take, and you go back and you're counteroffered. And you decide to accept it, which I wouldn't, but okay. That's different to I just went to get an offer so that I could get a raise. You have to be genuinely in it and genuinely ready to leave and take the offer. Otherwise, it's untruthful.
Yeah. Stephen Covey's son, the one who wrote 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, he wrote a book called The Speed of Trust. And in it, I remember one of the principles is telling the truth is not just about telling the truth, it's about leaving people with the right impression.
Exactly.
Do they have the full picture of what happened or what the situation was? And if they do, then you've done your job.
If careers are built on two things, results and relationships, most of your team's problems for both come from communication. It doesn't matter whether you're trying to get results or you're trying to build relationships. Both of them mean communication. And that was not something we were taught at school. We just do what comes naturally. And that's not always the most effective thing. So if you're struggling with your team, we are happy to send one of our trainers to you. In one day, you can teach an entire team the empty disc model, how to understand each other and how to communicate with each other more effectively and have an even more successful 2023 than you are currently planning. Please email us at customerservice@manager-tools.com and Maggie will be happy to help you. Telling the truth means not withholding a truth that will save someone else. So when you know something that will save someone else from making a mistake, you don't withhold that truth and then wait for the person to fail. It's not fair to say to someone, oh, well, you didn't ask me. If you'd have asked me, I'd have told you not to do that. Or you wait until they need to know. That's not fair. That's not what a professional does, because we are trying to help one another, not hinder one another. It's one thing to not know there's a hole for someone to fall in. It's a completely other thing to sit, know the hole is there, and watch them walk towards it until they trip.
Yeah.
That's unethical. It's unprofessional.
Absolutely. Telling the truth also means not allowing someone to assume something that's untrue. And I think this is a big one. I think all throughout this cast, there's an element of courage, mm-hmm. right, in telling the truth. But this is something that some people are uncomfortable with, interrupting or breaking someone's line of reasoning or thought, even if they're not sure. For example, a professional can't let her boss believe that work is hers when it's not. So don't tell the truth in such a way that what people hear is something untrue. Knowingly allowing someone to assume a falsehood is almost as bad as telling the falsehood yourself. If someone thinks that, or if someone says, hey, really nice job on that, and you didn't do that, or you weren't responsible for that end product, you have an obligation to correct them and say, actually, that wasn't me, that was Jenny, or that was Sam. Otherwise, you're letting them believe something that is not accurate and not correct.
And if you think of that the other way around, that immediately tells you you should tell the truth about that. Because if I've done a bunch of work and Andrew tells Sarah, or even allows Sarah to believe that it was his work, then I'm going to resent that. I'm going to be annoyed and irritated, and Andrew and I are going to have a fight.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are Andrew in that scenario and you're getting credit for something you didn't do, remember what it's like to not get credit for something you did do, and be as nice to your colleague as you would want them to be nice to you.
Yeah.
And telling the truth doesn't mean telling the truth of everything you know, think, and feel. The standard is tell the truth about the things about which you should be communicating. That's all. It is true that we had cornflakes for breakfast, but we don't need to tell everybody, right? Things about which you should not be communicating includes gossip, which from the Manager Tools cast, which is called Gossip Avoidance, that's one where we named it what it sounded like. Gossip is the communicating of others' personal information intended for personal consumption as opposed to organizational performance. Gossip is not information regarding job performance or professional competence. It's talking about that. You know what gossip is.
Yeah.
We all know what it is, because it feels so delicious. And it's a bit like too much ice cream. Makes you throw up afterwards. Truth is not a defense against gossip. Gossip is just toxic, even when it's truthful. I can't say, I know something about Andrew and his wife, and I go and tell Maggie that, and then Andrew finds out. That's still gossip, even though it was something that was truthful. And Andrew will be justifiable in wondering about our relationship and our relationship not being as strong, all of that will be justified if I'm just gossiping, even if it's truthful.
Yeah. Just because someone is getting a divorce doesn't mean that you are permitted to discuss it. Nor does it mean that you have to tell the truth about things about which you should not have been asked.
That's a long sentence, isn't it?
That is a long sentence. So someone who asks you a question can expect you to give a truthful answer to anything about which they are entitled to an answer. So if your direct asks you, will I be promoted? The answer is yes, no, or I don't know. If they ask about a private conversation that you had with another colleague, they're neither entitled to the answer nor the truth.
So if you're getting divorced and I say, hey, Andrew, are you getting divorced? You have no obligation to tell me the truth because it's private and it's not something to which I'm entitled to an answer as a colleague. Even as a boss, I don't think you're entitled to the answer. I think you're entitled if there's a performance dip and you want to say, hey, is anything happening at home? But that's a whole different, it's a whole different conversation.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that there's, and this probably could be a completely separate cast, but I think for me, you know, I try to share a lot of personal information because I think it helps and it's a little bit of my high eye. But I feel an obligation if there's something personal going on that I think will have an impact to work now or potentially at some point. And it could just be a small logistics, you know, scheduling issue. If I have something with my kids, I'm not going to be available to present that day and that impacts the organization. And so that should be, you know, that should be known and that should be communicated. I have the obligation to communicate that. But, you know, other things, I may not have the obligation to share at all. And I think it really depends on what you view personally, how much you want to share. But when it comes to sharing what other people have shared with you, that's a whole new ballgame. And this standard also means not denigrating colleagues, customers, and even your competition. Where communication about colleagues, customers, and competition is about organizational performance, then it's necessary. But denigrating someone or a competing company or something like that, just for the purpose of denigrating them, is not ethical.
And if you're communicating externally, then your communication cannot be about organizational performance. Organizational performance is internal. It's about how well your company is doing against the competition, how well you're doing in delivering products or projects, how well your team is getting on with each other. That's all internal stuff. So saying, oh, this project's gone pear-shaped, that's an internal discussion because it's about how well the project is doing. And so you wouldn't have that conversation with a customer, with a competitor, or with anybody outside of the organization. And it doesn't make sense to from a fiduciary or a strategic or a common sense perspective.
Yeah, great point. We don't tell customers that we would like our products to be better. And in the same way, we don't tell them we'd like our clients or customers to be better or our competition to be worse. It's not an honorable win to gain a positive advantage by putting the other guy down. Even if a customer decides to go with the competition, all you need say is, they've got great products and I'm sure you'll be happy with them. If the product doesn't work, they're much more likely to come back to you if all your interactions are positive. Is it telling the truth if their products aren't great? Well, BMW's products are great unless you're in the market for a car for your newly licensed 18-year-old, in which case you might choose something else, right? That doesn't mean that they're not still great products. BMWs don't need to say Ford products aren't great because they are for the right customer in the right circumstances, exactly. Right? Yeah. The same goes for your customers.
For some reason, I just thought about toasters. I think I have a, you know, $15 toaster. It was like the cheapest one in Walmart because I don't make toast very often. But you can get those like super duper shiny ones with with computers in them now, and you press the buttons and it knows what kind of bagel it is and how long it should cook it for.
Yeah, and it's got Bluetooth that connects to your phone.
Right.
And all this stuff. It's crazy.
It is crazy. There is a customer for that thing, obviously, because they're selling them. There is a customer for the $15.99 toaster in Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
The person who's making that super duper one can easily say, well, that Walmart one's rubbish. Like, it's only going to last you 2 years.
Oh,
and then you're just going to have to trash it. Well, it'll last me longer than that because I don't make toast that often. And it's perfect for what I want it for in my circumstances. So if you're a toast connoisseur, you want the fancy one. If you're not, then the $15.99 one is absolutely fine.
Yep.
Old-fashioned basics matter. The politicians and the celebrities that we see on our TVs are not good role models for us when it comes to the truth. And there are so many fall from grace stories where they've lied, or they've allowed a falsehood to be believed, or they've not lied, but they haven't told the truth and the truth comes out later. That should be your warning. They decided the ends justify the means, and they never do. Your fall from grace might not be as public, but it could be as devastating for your life. And it's so easily avoided. All you have to do is tell the truth.
Just tell the truth.
We could have done this podcast in 3 words, tell the truth.
That's right.
Thanks, Andrew.
All right. Thanks, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.